A couple weeks ago, I wasn't here, and because I was gone with my son River, who the church is not named after him, by the way, okay? But his name's River, and he turned 10 years old. The last of my babies is now finally 10, and took him to a 10-year-old adventure. We went down to South Florida, and Pastor Ty did a great job, didn't he? He did a great job 2 weeks ago filling in. If you didn't listen to that, make sure you go back and listen to that message. And then last week, I was ready to go, man. I was rearing to go, and all of a sudden, developed laryngitis, couldn't talk. And Pastor Travis slid in and did a great job, didn't he? He did a phenomenal job last week. So I encourage you to listen to that message. But I just want to say this. You have no idea. You have no idea how much I can't stand it when I can't be here. Because God does so much each and every week. And I just want you to keep your eyes open. If you come each and every Sunday or each and every Thursday night looking for God to do amazing things, you'll see it. Because he really is doing amazing things right in front of our eyes here at RCC. And I'm going to explain that in a second. But I just want you to know my heart when I can't be here. It breaks my heart. I went to other churches when I couldn't be here, and I love them. But man, not being RCC is my family. That's my church family. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of this. You have no idea. I dreamed of this. I dreamed of what's happening here at RCC, to be a part of a church that's happening. And then to get to do that, to do it in real life, is just mind-blowing to me. And I just wanted to share you a couple things about this in 2020. One, great year for RCC. You heard Tim talk just a few years ago. We didn't have 100 people. Last year, we had 100 people get baptized last year. Mind-blowing. And on top of that, we have over 200 kids who came last year in our kids' ministry. Maureen and JB and Kaylee are doing a phenomenal job. Just they did a great job last year. 200 kids. I love knowing that right now, these kids, as we're in here worshiping, are hearing about Jesus. And let me tell you, it's so passionate that you get your kids here because your kids are wet cement. And every time they're here and every time that they hear about Jesus, interact with Jesus people, it makes an eternal difference. And because of people who poured into me when I was their age, I'm here right in front of you now. I've got an army of people who I'm standing on their shoulders who taught me about Jesus. And it started when I was a kid. So get your kids here. Make sure they're here. 200 kids, phenomenal. And then last year, you look, we had 850 people on average come to RCC in our three services at the time. We had three services at the time. And I say that because that was our number before COVID. And I just want to say something. I've known church leaders who work with hundreds of churches. And one of them told me, I only know two churches last year. He says, I only know two churches who are back to their numbers before COVID. And RCC is one of the two out of hundreds of churches. It's just amazing what's happening here at RCC. It really is. I mean, this church is special. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it. But let me kind of fast forward and tell you what's kind of going on right now in 2022. This past year already, we have over 102 baptisms. We're not done with the year yet. That's phenomenal. I mean, praise God for that. On top of that, we now have 300 kids who come each and every week to RCC to hear about Jesus Christ. And we're above 1,200 people already in our attendance in this year. Can we give God the praise for how he's moving right here in our local church family? I mean, I don't think we have an idea how special this is. This is. And it's very hard to find a church in our community and across the country that's doing what God is doing here. Something special is happening. And one thing I love about what RCC is up to is we're about outreach, as you heard Tim talk about from the very beginning. That's in our DNA. In February of RCC, people needed blood, and so we had 70 people who gave blood in February. Just to give you some highlights. Also in May, we had Fleming Island High School needed obviously tons of senior class. They're right behind our property right here. We're basically neighbors with Fleming Island High School. They asked for a church to help. We stepped up and we cooked hamburgers and hot dogs for hundreds of future leaders that were graduating Fleming Island High School. One that's near and dear to my heart is protecting the unborn. In First Coast Women's Services, last year in 2021, RCC broke the record. And let me tell you, I'm not kidding about this, about 95 churches participate in this in our area, the baby bottle drive for First Coast Women's Services. Last year, we broke the record. This year, we broke our record and had $14,376 that were raised to protect the unborn. And this is the crazy part. The second place church is less than half of what we brought in. I mean, it's just something special is going on here that God's up to. I think in September, I think about the RCC volunteers met weekly, and as you heard Tim talk about, two local junior highs each and every week, encouraging those junior hires, and you've been through junior high, you know they need encouragement, amen? And they're being encouraged through the Bible and through Jesus followers who are pouring into them. Also, in July, school is starting, six schools. We showed up and blessed six schools, helped them prepare their campuses, getting ready for the school year to begin. Food and Friends, which is a ministry we launched on Thursday nights, this year alone has served 600 free meals to people in our community each and every Thursday night. On top of that, RCC gave over 120 filled-to-the-rim bags of food with a Thanksgiving drive, the Thanksgiving blessings. And I'm not talking about just little bags. I'm talking massive bags for those in our community, 120 of those. And just this past week, we got 40 frozen turkeys that were donated, and in 2 hours, we passed them out to people in need in our community. Over hundreds of people who are blessed each and every week here through CR, Grief Share, Divorce Care that meets right here in our campus. And then we've got kids. We've helped keep kids with roofs over their heads when their families were facing homelessness. We've helped mothers to keep their children. We've helped families in crisis who are going through extreme hardship with electricity, insurance, housing, transportation, utility needs, and food needs this year. I just love watching what God is doing through our church family. Amen. It's just amazing. Now look at the lives that are changed and the stories that are being rewritten because of encounters with Jesus, because what's happening through this church. I keep thinking to myself, it's worth it, it's worth it, it's worth it. I can't think of anything else that we can invest our lives in that will provide a greater return than what's happening here. And I'm so thankful for a dangerous church this Thanksgiving. I believe the greatest chapters of this church are still ahead of us. And we're fired up more than ever because there's more needs more than ever in our community and in our world. And I'm so thankful for all of our leaders, for our elders and our board, our staff, our ministry leaders, our life group leaders, and all of our volunteers for your love and your support and your encouragement and your willingness to take dangerous risk for the most important cause in the world. And what I love about watching people at RCC is seeing them experience freedom. See, freedom in your life and my life is maximized when we share it with others. God wants to leverage your freedom story that you're experiencing right now in the lives of others so that they can experience a freedom too. And if you don't remember anything else that I say today, I pray that you remember this. And here it is. You were rescued to be a rescuer. You were rescued to be a rescuer. Say that with me on the count of three. One, two, three. You were rescued to be a rescuer. One of the classic passages I love in the Bible is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there. You can look on the screen with me. We're going to ask you to read it all together with me. But out of this concept, out of this scripture, a concept came to me that I want to share with you today as I'm thankful for a dangerous church. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 20. Let's read it all together, all right? Let's read it all together like lines, all right? Starting at count three. One, two, three. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And this is from God, who reconciled all to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And so we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And as I was looking at the scripture, I asked God, God revealed to me, what do you want me to say? What do you want RCC to hear? And I really honed in on verse 19. And once again, it says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. He wasn't counting people's sins against them. He has committed to himself the ministry and the message of reconciliation. I'm like, God, what do you mean to say out of this? This is what God put on my heart, and here it is. A dangerous church is made up of dangerous Jesus followers who take dangerous risks to save people from a dangerous place. I want you to read that with me. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. A dangerous church is made up of dangerous Jesus followers who take dangerous risks to save people from a dangerous place. And the first phrase there, a dangerous church is made up of dangerous Jesus followers. You might go, well, why are we dangerous? Like, how? What do you mean by that? We were one way, we were dead, and now we're alive. The old is gone, and the new has come. The Holy Spirit is living inside of us. God is moving through us now. And because of that, we're dangerous. We're a weapon for the kingdom. And I'm telling you right now, we have a purpose and we have a goal. Well, before we didn't, it was all about me. It was all about what I could get, how I could use you for my own advantage. Now, it's all about him. It's all about drawing people to him. It's not about me anymore. It's not about you. It's all about him. And I tell you what, when you have that goal, it changes everything. There's one of our own right here at RCC. His name's Dominic. And I want you to hear his story, how he went from one way of life to Jesus' way of life, from the old to now the new. And everything is different and changed. Check this out. Listen to his testimony.
My parents separated, and I started doing drugs at the age of 11. I went to jail for the first time at the age of 15. I got put on probation but continued doing drugs when I finished and slowly got into harder drugs like cocaine and ecstasy. I got arrested and went to jail 2 more times at the age of 17. I was certified as an adult at the age of 18 and served 90 days in jail with 3 years felony probation. While on probation, I got my house raided for selling drugs. That violated my probation and I was sentenced to 20 months in prison. My oldest son was born while I was there. When I got out, I fell right back into drugs. Then I had my oldest daughter. I started getting really tired of the fast-paced, sinful life I was living, and with the little faith I had, I started praying to God on occasion. I stopped doing cocaine for a while and started feeling better about myself when one day I let my guard down and relapsed. After a horrible day and night of multiple drugs, I was so disappointed in myself and thought there was no way I could continue on living this way. With my little bit of faith, I prayed to God and told him I was sorry for the way I was acting and I was going to take my life. I said, God, please don't send me to hell for this. I want to go to heaven when I die. I left the drug house I was at and went walking down a median in between a divided highway in Jacksonville. There was a white box truck in the inside lane, and as he approached me, I stepped out in front of him. I opened my eyes, and with a crowd of people and paramedics around me trying to figure out what happened. The truck broke bones all throughout my body. One day, still in the hospital, my sister's boss, who I had never met, asked if he could see me. He came in and said he had been praying for me, and God told him to come and see me and let me know that what had happened was no accident. He then asked me if I wanted to fully give my life to Christ. We began to cry and pray together, and it's a day I will never forget. All my broken bones healed, and I began going to church and working on my new life with Christ. I met my soulmate, and we got married. Shortly after, I got full custody of my oldest daughter, had 3 more beautiful children, and then got full custody of my son. Life is so much better with Christ. I know I can lean on him in every situation, no matter how big or how small. I'm involved with a mentor group and a life group here at RCC, and now I have a group of brothers and sisters to help encourage me along the way.
I mean, it's amazing when you see someone who had no purpose and now he has purpose, single man, ungodly lifestyle, and now God has prompted him, moved him. Now he's married, got kids. And I tell you what's amazing about Dominic is this part right here. A dangerous Jesus follower who take dangerous risks. And he's taking dangerous risks even now while he's part of our church. He's leaving things aside that a lot of people justify doing in our world. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to be doing that anymore because now my devotion is to Jesus and how I could be a Jesus follower to my wife and to my kids first and foremost and then to my community. And he's taking incredible steps to be that vessel for Jesus. And honestly, I look at Dominic's life as a follower of Jesus, and I look at what he's doing the last several years, but even the last few months. And then I look at my life as a follower of Jesus over the last years and decades, and I'm like, man, I'm playing it way too safe. I'm way too casual. I need to take relational risk, spiritual risk, invitational risk to invite other people into this life that we get to so enjoy. And I just want to say to you, if you've been reconciled by God, you are a new creation, and God has called you to be a reconciler. You are rescued to be a rescuer. And God wants you to leverage your story in somebody else's life to experience what you've experienced in your life. And some of you have like your arms kind of folded, you know, metaphorically. You're like, you don't understand. You don't understand, Nathan. You don't know my story. You don't know my baggage. You don't know my sin. I mean, how in the world could God use me? Amazed by an encounter one time that Jesus has with a woman at the well in John chapter 4. And this woman's story is colorful. Her past, colorful. See, here's the thing. Like so many of us, she went and tried to fill that void inside of her life with anything but God. Many of us, we go after job to job to job trying to find that fix. Some of us go to fun to fun to fun trying to find that hole and fill that void. Some of us go from house to house to house, or like this woman in John 4, relationship to relationship to relationship. By the time Jesus has his encounter with her, she's gone through 5 marriages. And then she's with a guy, and her 6th guy she's not even married to. And what's interesting is that she found freedom in this encounter with Jesus, and then she finds everlasting life for her soul through Jesus. And then she runs back into town, and she says to the guys back in town and the ladies, she says, come and see, this man, Jesus, has changed everything about me. And with this passion and with this urgent invitation, she takes a dangerous risk to announce to the entire city. Now think about this. She had a pretty shady reputation. And this woman goes and spreads the news about what Jesus has done for her life. And guess what happened? A revival broke out. A freedom revival broke out. And I've heard this story, read this story so many times. But here's the thing. It kind of stood out to me this time. She was a brand new follower of Jesus. Listen, she did not wait till her life got all perfected before she went out and started rescuing people. You hear what I'm saying? Like, she didn't wait to have a Bible study before she went out and started rescuing people. She didn't wait to get the foundations of the faith before she knew what the mission was. The mission is to go rescue people. Other people have to know. And they've got to be rescued just as I was, is what she's saying. Here's the thing about that she teaches me. God can use your biggest failure to be the launching pad for your greatest calling. God can use your biggest failure to be the launching pad for your greatest calling. Some of you have had eating disorders, and you're doing better mentally, spiritually, now physically. And all of a sudden it knocked you down. But you're doing better through Jesus, but you don't want to talk about it anymore. I mean, that thing that you don't want to talk about, listen, could be the very thing that God wants to use in a person's life. Some of you have substance addiction, just as we heard about Dominic, and you got help through the power of Jesus. Maybe it's something else, you know, maybe it's another habit, codependency, anger, I don't know what it is, but you went through like Celebrate Recovery, you got community, it's just going great, but you still don't want to tell anybody. There's shame and there's guilt behind that. What if God wants to use that to help somebody else? And maybe some of you struggle with infertility, man. It's been heartbreaking for so many years trying to have a child. And you don't want to talk about it. You didn't even try adoption, but adoptions have fallen through the last moment and last minute. But what if God wants you to share that experience, what you experienced, what he wants to share it with someone else who's walking through it right now, and they can see hope if they knew your story Maybe it's sexual or physical abuse. Maybe you used to be in pornography, but through God's deliverance, you're now walking in the light from that. You've got the shame attached to it, though, to your past, and you still want to hide it. Maybe God wants to use that. Your biggest failure to be the launching pad for your greatest calling. You know, every person that's in this room right now, every person that's listening to me online or listening to a recording of this is here because somebody in your life took an invitational risk. Somebody took a relational risk. Somebody took some risk and they set out to rescue somebody. And because of that, you're sitting in this room right now or you're watching online right now. Why would they do that? Because they were rescued. That's why they would do it. And thank God they didn't play it safe. Amen. Thank God. I thank God for the people who led my family to Jesus Christ. I'm indebted to them for eternity. A dangerous church is made up of dangerous Jesus followers who take dangerous risks to save people from a dangerous place. Now, I didn't know if I want to talk about those last two words, dangerous place, because it's not really PC. It's not really, you know, cool to talk about hell. I don't like thinking about it, I don't like talking about it, but the reality is, Jesus, it was a major theme in his teaching ministry. Jesus at times would break down and weep over people who were far from God. And there was an urgency about every interaction that Jesus had with other people. Why? Because he knew what the stakes were. I mean, Jesus understood like no one else really can understand the reality of hell and what it does to real people. And Paul picks up on this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he says, "We implore you." We implore you. What does that mean? I am on my knees begging you, pleading with you. I'm asking you right now to make things right on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. You're like, really, Paul? You want to go like that intense? Like you really want to go there? You get all fired up? We implore you? Kind of chill out a little bit. What's going on here? I'll tell you what's going on. Paul understands the risk. And he wants to save people from a dangerous place. Be reconciled to God while you still have a chance. There's an urgency to this. There's a life and there's a death. There's a heaven and there's a hell. The Church of Jesus Christ is in the rescue business. Amen? That's what we do. That's who we are. And here's what I wonder. I wonder how much more dangerous we would be as a church. I wonder how much more dangerous we'd be as followers of Jesus Christ, or how much dangerous risk we would take if we live with a greater awareness of that dangerous place every day. I wonder how we would love differently. I wonder how we would serve differently, and how we build relationships differently, and how we engage differently, and how we invite differently, and how we preach differently, and how we plan differently, and how we give and even pray differently. Now, tell you why this matters. There's a place on Nantucket Island in Massachusetts. It's an organization. It was developed by volunteers who got started hundreds of years ago. And in those days, travel by sea was extremely dangerous because of the rough waters right there in that particular area of the sea. And people lose their lives just a mile off the coast. So a few volunteers that have been, you know, doing this for a while, they organized a life-saving business. They were known as the Massachusetts Humane Society. And so they built these huts all over the place. These huts had boats, had equipment, and they had people, you know, watching the sea the whole time. And so when a ship went down, they all went out. And they would drop everything to save the lives of other people. And they call themselves, these buildings, they call them huts of refuge. Huts of refuge. And that meant everything to people. I mean, if you're in danger and you see a hut of refuge and you know somebody's seeing you in danger out in the ocean, you know that they're going to do whatever they can to save you. That means the world. And get this, they did it for no money. They did it for no recognition. They did it because they prized every human life. And to remind them of what their mission was, they came up with a motto. And the motto was this: you have to go out, but you don't have to come back. You have to go out, kind of catchy, but you don't have to come back, right? It was worth it. It was worth dying for, is what they're saying. It's fascinating to read the accounts of what they did to save lives of even a people that they didn't even know. You have to go out, but you don't have to come back. Well, over time, the Coast Guard got involved. And for a season, the Coast Guard and this life-giving organization, life-saving organization, worked side by side. But over time, what the Massachusetts Humane Society decided was, you know what, they're the professionals. They have the money. They have the training. And the volunteers stopped living in the huts. And they stopped serving the coastline by looking for ships that were sinking. And they stopped sending out reports to save drowning people. It's a funny thing. The funny thing is that they could not get themselves to disband. So they still have this life-saving society. It still exists. They just meet together every now and then for dinner in Boston. They're just not in the life-saving business anymore. There's no more huts of refuge on the shore watching the sea to see if anybody is going down. Listen, family, this happens to churches, especially in America, all the time. It doesn't happen in a day. It doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen in a month. But churches forget that they're in the life-saving business. Initially, church doesn't disband. I mean, initially, it normally kind of doesn't happen like that. People still show up, and they still sing songs. They still tolerate one another. They're just not in the life-saving business anymore. They're not searching for the neighborhoods. They're not searching in the offices and in the schools and in their neighborhoods for people who need to be saved. I mean, yeah, they hold services. They build buildings. They got budgets. They got staff. They have programs. But they're not in the life-saving business anymore. Listen, myself and the rest of the RCC leadership refuse. We refuse to allow that to happen to RCC on our watch. And you go, why is that? Because we know a dangerous church is made up of dangerous Jesus followers who take dangerous risks to save people from a dangerous place. That's what's at stake for what we do here at River Christian Church. Family, Jesus is still looking for people who will build little huts of refuge in this world, that will dot the coastline of this world that he loves so much. And that's our mission here at RCC until Jesus comes back or until we breathe our last breath. May we never forget how important our mission is of winning people to Jesus. And that is bringing them up and training them as believers so they're disciples, followers of Jesus, and then unleashing disciples into our community and into the ends of the world. At RCC, we believe that baptism is a significant step in the life of someone's spiritual journey. And when a person comes to faith in Christ, they take that first initial step of obedience by joining with Jesus in the death, burial, and resurrection and getting baptized. And here at RCC, we've had hundreds. I mean, while we've been in this building just 3 years now, hundreds of people who have gotten baptized. And I know many of you are in this room right now, been baptized. And what I'm about to do, I want you to hold your applause for a moment. Because what I'm about to do, I think, is pretty cool. And I want to ask you this. If you've been baptized at RCC, whether at a camp, a retreat, maybe we baptized you in your pool, we do that all the time, maybe in a river, maybe out in the ocean, or maybe right here in our jacuzzi for Jesus, okay? If you've been baptized while you've been at RCC, I want you to hold your applause, church. But if you've been baptized, I want everyone to stand if you've been baptized here at RCC. Stand right now. Everybody stand if you've been baptized while you've been at RCC. I just want you to look at these people. If you've been baptized, just stay standing. Please stay standing. Look at this. You know, what's amazing to me is, have you ever heard the Rudy clap? You ever heard of Rudy clap? Rudy, the movie, is this guy who was weak and small, and he wanted to play for Notre Dame, University of Notre Dame. But he couldn't get on the team, you know. And finally, through his tenacity, his perseverance, and his faith, something significant happened in the movie that nobody really realized in that stadium. One day, Rudy gets on the field. And all of a sudden, one person just started. And the next thing you know, other people started clapping. Other people started clapping. Next thing you know, the whole stadium is breaking out in one big celebration. You see these people right here, and I just want you to know these people standing up, man, something significant happened for them to give their life to Jesus Christ. They moved from the world of darkness into the world of light. They were not saved, and now they've been rescued, and now they have a purpose. And I just have to give God the praise for all that he's doing in their lives and in our lives. And miracles are happening here at RCC. They're happening here at RCC. Stand up, church. Stand up, church. Everybody stand up. Let's give God the praise. Keep giving him the praise. And miracles upon miracles upon miracles are happening here at RCC.